Now we're coming to, actually this is, it's listed as session 12 of 14 altogether. Even though there's only 10 steps of prayer, we've had the introduction at the beginning, and then we'll have a very important conclusion that we want to make as a separate lesson. And we're continuing with the 12 steps, as you see in your notes, for developing and cultivating daily delight in personal prayer. Once again, I like to just remind people of when Jesus was in the garden, and I've shared this at the beginning of these different steps. He found his disciples sleeping, and that was the night before he went to the cross, and he really needed them to be with him, and that's when he made the statement, "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" And when we think of the fact that God's given us 24 hours in a day, and in a healthy way, we would spend hopefully at least 8 hours in restful sleep. Many might spend 8 hours in some kind of work. That still leaves us 8 left over. And when we stop and think of 24 hours that have been gifted to us, could we not watch 1 hour? And bringing these things together makes it easier for some when you look at these steps. Now, there are, on the list of all 12 steps, really three aspects that are more of the contemplative type of prayer. First of all, we shared much earlier, but in the teaching, step number 2, if you have the hour that changes the world, or if you look at the circular guide there, step number 2 is waiting, and that's a contemplative type of prayer. Meditation is very clearly a contemplative type of prayer. And then listening. And listening, by definition, as you see here, is the act of divine communication. The action focus is guidance, and the key word is revelation. And so that's a summary, you know, we're communicating with the Lord. In one of the hymns that I remember singing in our younger years in particular, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend when I commune with thee, O Lord, as friend with friend." And it's communication, communion with the Lord, and it's receiving supernatural guidance. And the key word is revelation. Andrew Murray was one of the great, great men of God of a previous generation, a missionary to South Africa, and he said this: prayer is not a soliloquy. It's not just a one person's voice by himself or herself, where everything comes from one side, but it is a dialogue where God's child listens to what the Father says and replies to it, and then asks for the things he needs. Listening to God's voice is the secret of the assurance that he will listen to mine. Very interesting thought. One of the people that had such a profound influence on my life in this regard is the wonderful Bible teacher who grew up in New Zealand, where she, and Joy Dawson is her name, she married Jim, and then became very involved in Youth with a Mission. And in some of the foundations of that ministry that now is one of the leading ministries of mobilizing short-term missionaries, and they now have about 1,400 bases all over the world, and as much as 1 million young people every year are involved in some way of short-term missions. If you've ever been associated with them at all, you know that one of the key foundations of what God showed them was the art of listening to the Lord. And Joy Dawson was kind of the person that really taught them. They would be sitting in meetings discussing what to do, and she would just say, "Well, why don't we just bow our heads right now and ask God what to do and see what he says?" Instead of trying to work this all out on our own. And how many times God really profoundly spoke to them. Well, look at a biblical basis. We want to look at everything here in light of a biblical basis. Ephesians 1, 15 through 17. "For this reason, Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. And when Paul, the chief apostle, is about to say what he prays for, you know it's significant. He says, I keep asking, meaning that this is a recurring request. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it's all ultimately so that you may know him better. That's why we hear from the Lord. I like the Message Bible. Some of you know and I've gone through numbers of different translations on an annual basis. But I've been in the Message. It's really a paraphrase, but it really brings to life passages. Revelation 2:29, I love the wording of this. Are your ears awake? I mean, that's great. Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches. Listen. Listen. Recently, my wife pointed out that I wasn't hearing everything she said. And recommended I have my ears checked, which I did. And I actually don't have my hearing aids in now, but I do wear them now and then. Whenever I really want to hear my wife, no, I just don't tell her that. But some of the stories I've heard. I heard about this guy that got some new hearing aids, and they were like $5,000, and he was just bragging that he could hear a pin drop from like a mile away, and he's bragging about his hearing aids. And his friend said, well, what kind is it? And he said, oh, it's about 10 after 4. I think one of my favorites, though, is the guy that suspected his wife was losing her hearing, and so he was he thought he was going to test her, and so she was sitting in the living room, and he was in the kitchen, and so he kind of yelled out, honey, do you want some tea? And she didn't say a thing, and he thought, this doesn't look good. So then he went to the doorway into the living room, and he said, honey, do you want some tea? And she didn't say a thing, and so finally, he went right behind her, just right behind her, and said, honey, do you want some tea? And she said, for the third time, yes. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Jeremiah 33:3. Again, the Message, this is great the way this is paraphrased. Call to me. Now, we know the King James. Call unto me and I will answer. Show unto thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. This is not an inaccurate paraphrase of what the intent of the Hebrew was. In recording Jeremiah's words, call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. That's a wonderful, you know, we've got to listen. We must listen. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. If you will listen obediently to what I say and keep my covenant, out of all peoples you'll be my special treasure. You see, we can't obey if we don't hear. We can't hear if we don't listen. And incidentally, we generally can't listen unless we don't wait. And so there's a connection between these various aspects of prayer and why they're important. You know, over the years, obviously my times in the presence of the Lord have grown, and it'd be inaccurate for me to say that every single time I pray, I have these steps exactly in this order. Because what'll happen is they'll begin to merge, and you'll move through these in ways that, like I said, I think earlier, that you might highlight something and spend much more time in that particular aspect of prayer. But listening does become a profoundly vital part of our walk with the Lord. J.R. Miller, another one of these men of God from the past, made this statement that I think is really great, is quietness in a man or a woman is a mark of strength. Noise is not eloquence. Have you ever been with someone that they're not certain God hears very well? I don't want to get into, be picky about it, but sometimes people start praying and it scares you a little bit. Now, I do appreciate people that are bold. And there comes a time when there's a need for bold praying. But noise is not eloquence. Loudness is not power. In all the departments of life, it is the quiet forces that affect most. Therefore, if we would be strong, we must learn to be quiet. A quiet heart will give a quiet life. Those that would have the occasion to read one of my newer books, which is Intercessory Worship, which is has the subtitle Combining Worship and Prayer to Touch the Heart of God, you'll notice that I begin by sharing, there's three parts in the book. It starts with realities, worship realities, then reforms, worship reforms, and then rivers that more are the prophetic flow of intercessory worship in these last days. I highlight in one of the realities the significance of silence. And I hope you'd have the occasion maybe to read that, because I describe how when God called me for the second time in my life to spend an entire month in prayer, meaning that the time that I would spend in any ministry, in the office, in any kind of work activities, it wasn't that I spent 24 hours. That's virtually impossible over certainly any length of time without actually just dropping like a fly. But I twice the Lord's called me to a month of prayer. And in order to go through that month each day, He put onto my heart different ideas of things to do. I'm not going to get into this now, some of the different things that I did. And on a few of the days, actually praying with the staff the entire day in a prayer room where they could come and go if they wanted to, but we participated together. But anyway, I just felt God called me to do that. And on the second time that this happened in 1998 in December, I for the whole month, I had to clean my calendar. I had to cancel certain events and meetings. But I felt God really calling me to do it. By about the fourth week, like on a Monday or so, I was sitting in prayer thinking, God, I've done everything I know to do on all these days, and I've run out of stuff. And that's when the Lord said, no, there's something you've never done for a whole day ever. And I said, well, what's that, Lord? And he said, kept your mouth shut. To just hear. Some of you have heard me tell, it's also in the book Intercessory Worship, that one day in my life when I determined someday I'm going to have a whole day where from the time I get up till the time I go to bed, I'm going to praise the Lord out loud. And you have to read that story, because there's some humor to it toward the end of the day. But I had never, ever attempted. I could not remember ever spending 15 minutes in absolute silence. 15 minutes, just determined silence, I would call it. And so I set apart that day. And that became one of the most awesome encounters. I had to battle my mind. Because how many know, you may not be speaking out loud, but your brain is. And it was really interesting. First of all, I wasn't sure I knew what it was to be absolutely silent. But the more I battled it, the more I began to say, you know what, what I need to do is just focus on God, focus on His Son. And of course, you know you're going to start hearing things, so that would fall into the category of listening. But of absolute just silence. And so I think of that when I think of a quote like J.R. Miller's, and again, for lack of time to tell you the whole sequence of events when God just spoke to me, be still and know that I am God. You know what the next phrase is? I will be exalted in the nations. And you'll find out if you read that chapter of the dramatic way God showed me the power of silence and the evangelization of the unreached. Jesus, the Lord, being exalted in the nations. And you know what's interesting to me is I never set out to say, well, if I do these things in prayer, then God's going to let me be involved in a harvest that's beyond anything I could ever imagine. But somehow that's what's happened. Because it was never a goal in my mind. I want to lead a ministry that's involved in taking the gospel where people live. That was the outflow of praying for the nations. And that's a whole other story. And it's obvious you can see I not only have a wandering mind, but I'm a wandering teacher. But anyway, here's a summary definition before I look at some prayer applications and life application. A summary definition of listening is, I know this is very succinct, very simple. It's a time to hear. God is always, always speaking to those who are willing to listen. God will not be silent. Now, there are times we can say he is, and there's a biblical basis for why the Lord may seem to withdraw from us. And that's another lesson. And there's so much to learn in God's word. But a time to hear. And then, as I mentioned, we have a prayer application. They're very simple. But see, when you put these together and you really meditate, we already talked about meditation as an aspect of prayer, but thinking on these different things, then God will begin to build a rich life of prayer. And actually, you know what actually ends up happening? When you look at the prayer application and then the life application, you're moving toward what Brother Lawrence, the 16th century monk, referred to, and it became a title of a book. He never set out to write a book. Some of you may have heard me say that. He wrote letters to a very dear friend, and that friend collected those letters, and because he used the phrase a number of times, in his letters, I have learned to practice the presence of God. That became the title of that absolute classic book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And it's what we do in our prayer time, our quiet time. And this is what happened with Brother Lawrence. As he had these times alone with the Lord, he recognized, I can take out of that prayer time and this can become my life. And I don't think there's a greater joy that you could ever have than to practice the presence of God. You become a walking prayer meeting, I don't know, whatever you want to define it. Now, listening, a prayer application, I sum it up, all these have three words in the prayer application and the life application, is receive daily instruction. I put the word daily in there because it really ought to be an exercise day by day where, Lord, what would you say to me today? What would you say to me? You know, somewhat like in the morning, if I said to my wife, honey, is there anything I need to do for you today? Until you ask that question, you don't know what might be missing. And sometimes I'm sorry I asked. Not really, but I'm thinking of so many stories and I don't have time. But receive daily instruction. Dr. A.T. Pearson, an incredible man of God at about the time in ministry with the great American evangelist, the Billy Graham of his day was Dwight L. Moody, and this extraordinary Bible teacher. A.T. Pearson said, all practical power over sin and over men depends on closet communion. Those who abide in the secret place with God show themselves mighty to conquer evil and strong to work and to war for God. They are the seers who read his secrets. That's great. They know his will. They are the meek whom he guides in judgment and teaches his way. They are his prophets who speak for him to others and even forecast things to come. They watch the signs of the times and discover his tokens and read his signals. My goodness, that's great. Look more excited, would you? I mean, you know, that's worth meditating on. And don't miss the fact that you can meditate on something someone else says when it's said really as either a... I believe Pearson was being making a prophetic statement, even what he said in referring to those with a prophetic gift. There is no question A.T. Pearson had that gift. Let's look at a life application. Listening, a life application. Develop a listener's spirit. Now, you see how you're taking a quality of prayer into our walk with the Lord. Some people are extraordinarily good listeners, and they're the kind that people seek out when they need a word, when they need to hear something, they need encouragement. I can remember one dear board member who's now with the Lord, who went to be with Jesus just last year, who was probably, he would rank in the top two or three of the greatest encouragers I've ever known. And when the phone would ring, and of course nowadays many of us, the person's name comes up on the screen. And by the way, I don't want to get too far into this, but there's a few, when the name shows up on the screen, that you punch as fast as you can to have your phone send it to voicemail. No, I would never really do that, would I? No, really, because you think, oh man, this is going to be a long conversation or something like that. Or what do they want now? When I saw come up on my phone Paul Goodwin, that was his name, I knew exactly how his words would begin. Because it was every time. Brother Dick, I just called to love on you. It's always how it began. And then every time it would be something of encouragement. Something of encouragement. And you know what? He was a man of prayer. We'd go visit him out in Florida, and he had a really unique, special place of prayer in his garage, of all places. And you'd walk into his house, and if you walked through the garage, you'd see that off in the corner. And that's where he would spend time. And he always was hearing from God. And he kept these meticulous notes, sort of his journals, of what the Lord was saying. And very often why he called is that he picked up on something. He's one of our board members, and he picked up on something that he knew the Lord showed him that might encourage me. So to develop a listener's spirit, to just listen to people when they share. And I know I have a struggle with this too, because we get so busy and you've got so many things to do that you know, I might be in a teaching setting like this and I think of, oh, now, before we go to Indonesia next week and we have a key meeting, incidentally, you can pray for a major meeting we have this coming week, the first couple of days of our leader, a brother we work with out of Sudan, and you know the problems with Sudan and how it became two nations now. There's fighting along the border, bloodshed, and yet where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound, and God is doing extraordinary things in Sudan. But so now, why did I say that? My mind, I'll be teaching and my mind will begin to, oh, don't forget you've got to do this, and don't forget, oh, you got to do that before. And so pretty, and that happens in our prayer life too. In fact, the reason some do not have a prayer life at all, and they really do genuinely love Jesus, I mean, and they know him in the sense that he has come into their life, they just don't really spend time with him, is because they get caught up in the things that need to be done. But so develop a listener's spirit. Now let me go to this where to next as I share a conclusion, at least to this step of listening. Now, incidentally, in the book, as is the case of all these steps, there are illustrations, there are quotes from past great, great men and women of God, and insights that I think will benefit you if you'd like to probe or go into this a little further. Listening, here's the four ways to get started and keep going as we share with each of these steps. And these really come out of how I conclude each chapter in the book, The Hour That Changes the World. Step number one here, is in the listening time of prayer, do not hesitate to ask God very specific questions about difficult problems or situations. Sometimes we just don't ask. And remember the scripture that says, you have not because you ask not. And so it's not just related to not getting certain blessings because we don't ask for them. It's also even including that we don't ask, speak to me. Well, then, number two, and this is where we get back to the word. Search scripture for specific answers to your questions. God most often speaks through his word. And something else, you know that I've sought for many years now to have that habit of reading through the Bible prayerfully in the course of a year. And so it's systematic. You have certain, well, by the way, let me digress here and say, I heard a great lady, Sister Frieda Lindsay, who was one of the founders of Christ for the Nations, always hammered away. You didn't go to Christ for the Nations and come away without developing a daily time in the Word. Absolutely. And she said, if you'll read just three chapters a day during the week and five on Sunday, three a day, five on Sunday, by the time, and you start in January 1st, by the time you get to the end of December, you'll have read through the Bible. She had that all figured out. There are many different kind of guides to help you do this, but here's what I wanted to say. What's unique is that you will discover that sometimes it seems God caused the Bible to be written in that order to speak to you that day. Because if you're looking, you'll see. Search scripture for specific answers to your questions. God most often speaks through his word. Number three, mentally evaluate all circumstances that relate to a problem. Now you see, this is a little bit related to meditation, but now mentally evaluate all circumstances that relate to a problem. Ask God to show you his plan through these circumstances. Now you're just asking, you're asking and listening. Number four, be prepared to write down any ideas God may share concerning the details of solving that particular problem. So many of the things that have happened in our lives, in especially even in the ministry of everything from, I can remember, if you read our other book, kind of our life story, The Purple Pig and Other Miracles, I know that's an unusual title. The last chapter, I describe how this beautiful wall of Jerusalem stone, I want to comment on that in the last part of this, all this teaching, but how God showed me a wall standing on top of a hotel in Hong Kong late at night, praying out over Victoria Harbor, over all the high-rise buildings with the neon signs and all these companies. And that story is for another time, but the fact is, so many things came to me or have come to me through those times of being alone with the Lord. And so I went down, right, I told you this was, I went right down off that roof to the room and sketched out what I believe I saw on top of that hotel in prayer. And now we see it as a reality here at the Jericho Center. Be prepared to write down any ideas God may share concerning the details of solving that particular problem or something he wants you to do. Now, as we always have these afterthoughts for just a few moments, to these ponder points or discussion points, discuss or ponder why you think it's difficult for some Christians to truly listen to God's voice during personal prayer. One of the life application suggestions in this session was that we develop a quiet life. How would you define that lifestyle? What would be a quiet life? That's a good thing to talk about. Then we're going to pray, and here's the thought about praying, a little focus, a wonderful and meaningful prayer exercise is to be quiet and listen to see if God will speak into our hearts with a still small voice. And this is another time we're doing a little bit of a contemplative thing. And now this is going to seem very similar to meditation. But I want you to see that there's a difference. Take time to listen to see what God may impress on your heart during this time of prayer. And you know what I would encourage you? Well, let me read the rest of it. If you are in a small group, which you are here, end your time of prayer by praying back to God what you heard. Now, this is very similar to what we did earlier in the last session. But in this time, here's what I'd like to encourage you. Say, it could be a couple things. One, Lord, show me right now something I should pray for in the world, in our city, that's on your heart. And then just listen to see what comes. Or, Lord, show me something that I can thank you for that I don't remember ever thanking you for before. And but that is an exercise I try to do fairly frequently. Sometimes even late at night as I'm going to sleep, to try and thank the Lord for something even that day, or something I know I've never thanked him for before. And it's always something, always something. So that's kind of the prayer focus. I'll remind you of that again in a moment. But right now, smile at your neighbor. If you're watching this online, you can actually do this too, even if you're alone, to ponder these thoughts. Why you think it's difficult for some Christians to truly listen to God's voice, and how would you define a quiet lifestyle?